This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here this morning to celebrate Holy Trinity Sunday. We will be confessing the Athanasian Creed. It is the longest of our three ecumenical creeds that all Christians hold to. We do use the word Catholic in it, but it's a small c Catholic, which means a universal. So when we talk about the Catholic faith, it is the Christian faith, not the Roman Catholic faith particularly. Or for those watching at home on our recording, we are coming out of the Lutheran service book, Divine Service 1. Our hymns today will be 507, 504, 835, 618, 578, and 506. We're in the middle of some renovations. The restrooms downstairs, I think, are not functioning at the moment. They're putting up the partitions and reinstalling the toilets down there. The cryo room bathroom is functional. It's still sort of in process, but if you do need one, you can use the cryo room bathroom. But note, the doors have no locks on them, so there's a sign, occupied, unoccupied. Put that out. Maybe have someone watch the door for you if you need to use that. So hope next week they should all be all up and running. So, although the cryo room means the doors will be into the cryo room for a few weeks. Well, Father, the Ordinary Service received on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution. Father, may I share your peace and the procession of gift. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sins. Let us then confess our sins to God the Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, whose mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and face towards the center. And with the lectern side, the peace of the Lord be with you always. The pulpit side, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen. Two great God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning before. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let there be earth. Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that lives on earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was an evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he has done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
did through him do it, as yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of a lawless man. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witness. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Different times for us, so we're trying to carry a few things, it gets a little creative.
his sermon hymn on Galilee's High Mountain on page 10 and 11. Seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Authority. This is not one of our favorite words. If someone tells you, I have authority over you, what does that mean? How does that make you feel? During the COVID-19 pandemic, we have all had to learn a lot about authority. The governor exercised his authority and life changed dramatically. Very often for many of us, we don't much like authority. I don't know about you, but when someone tells me not to do something, it kind of makes me want to do it. From the time that a little child first tells her mother no, the quest for autonomy and the rebellion against authority has started. With Adam and Eve eating the fruit of the forbidden tree, rebellion against authority began, and it has been accelerating ever since. In 1981, Jeffrey Stout, a professor of religion and philosophy at Princeton University, published a book called The Flight from Authority. In it, he described a social and philosophical trend in Western society. Collectively, he argues, we have been on a flight from authority for several centuries. In the Reformation, we fled from the authority of the Catholic Church. Under rationalism, we ran from the authority of scriptures. With Kant, we turned our backs on the authority of reason and then morality. The flight continues in our own times as we resist conformity to governments, social norms, and institutions in general. Obedience is out. Autonomy is in. Simply put, we like to be in charge. What does the Bible say about authority? When we study the fourth commandment, it is all about authority. Honor your father and your mother. Parents have authority by virtue of creating or adopting a child. We have a lot of authorities in our lives. Parents, teachers, bosses, coaches, pastors, police, government. All individual authority, however, comes from one authority. Authority comes from God so that his kingdom comes and his will is done. Those in authority are masks of God, doing Jesus' work of service in love for their neighbor. In our gospel reading from Matthew today, Jesus talks about authority. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. How much authority does Jesus have? All authority. Jesus is in charge. And what does he tell you to do? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus' authority comes from who he is. Jesus is the Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity. He is God in flesh, conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus' authority is confirmed at his baptism by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. His authority is shown in miracles, such as when Jesus calms the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even winds and water and they obey him? Jesus has all authority. He has authority to forgive your sins because he takes responsibility for your sin. He who knew no sin became sin for you and offers himself as the atoning sacrifice upon the altar of the cross. Jesus is God in flesh, and all authority has been given to him. At his transfiguration, God the Father says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Do what he says. Obey him. He has authority over you. He has all authority. He exercises his authority with divine perfection. As you exercise the authority given to you by God as parent, teacher, boss, coach, pastor, police officer, government official, or in any other way, remember that you are a mask of God for good in the kingdom of God. You are a servant of God serving your neighbor. And also, remember always that with authority always comes responsibility. Parents have authority over their children, but also responsibility for their children. The state of Ohio recognizes both. A child can be arrested for not obeying their parents, and parents can be arrested for not caring for their children. With authority comes responsibility. In our world, there is a temptation to seek autonomy instead of obedience. But there's also a temptation for people with authority to abuse their authority and ignore their responsibilities. You can all think of examples from your own life where someone in power overstepped their authority. An abusive manager, pastor, parent, teacher, police officer, government official. Over these last couple of weeks, we have seen the horrifying video out of Minneapolis of a police officer abusing his authority. Instead of using the least force necessary to arrest a suspect, he applied deadly force in a slow, brutal, deliberate way, taking the life of George Floyd. This former officer's abuse of power caused the death of a fellow human being. This is a great evil. And now we trust those with authority to bring justice. Protests and demonstrations have been staged all over the country and the world, including here in Hamilton, to call out this deadly abuse of power and speak out against racism. According to the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, citizens have the right to peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. The people have a right to assemble. But those who bring violence, looting, and destruction into the demonstrations are abusing their right to assemble. They're overstepping their authority, neglecting their responsibilities. This is a challenging time for our nation. And as Christians, we need to be careful how we respond. This particular case is one in which there is nearly universal condemnation and calls for the former officer to be punished. This is a time that we should, as a nation, be able to unite to work for real solutions to end the abuse of police power. But there are those in our nation who abuse their authority and use vague charges to divide us, promote in us hatred of others. There are those who, for power and political leverage, take the actions of a few and indict the many. There are those who strive to have us categorize and get everyone to categorize people into groups, and then we can dismiss them. Abuse of power is evil. Racism is evil. Division and hatred are evil. These are sins that we can all be drawn into, and these are sins for which we must repent. When the actions of a few are magnified and applied to an entire group, that's evil. To be identified as a victim or identified as an abuser simply based on the color of your skin is wrong. We are each individuals with unique experiences. It's wrong. But there is great power in division. And there are those across the political spectrum that want to emphasize differences and distinction and drive wedges between us. We must reject these divisions and hatred, and work together to stamp out the abuse of power at all levels for those in authority. Christians are called to abhor racism, division, hatred, and the abuse of authority. As a Christian, as a baptized child of God, you are under the authority of Jesus, and he has instructed you to love your neighbor. He has commanded you to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, to turn the other cheek and go the extra mile. Racism in all forms is contrary to Christianity. In the Bible, there are no races. There's no mention of red or yellow, black or white. The only division is Jew and Gentile, which is undone in Jesus. St. Paul writes in Galatians 3, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In the kingdom of God, there is no place for any type of racism or hatred or division. When you fall prey to these temptations, repent and receive forgiveness in the blood of Jesus shed for you. And we all have room to improve our understanding of people who come from different backgrounds. We can all benefit from empathetically listening to those who are different from us, who come from different places, who have different experiences. I have never been pulled over for driving while black, but I know people who have. I'm a fourth generation American with family roots and support. Others are new immigrants alone in this country. Honor others' perspectives, even if you don't share them. Racism and hatred have no place in our nation, and certainly have no place in the church. Here, we are one in Christ. Here, we kneel together and confess our sins and receive forgiveness from Jesus. As the old Christian folk song says, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Every person is someone for whom Jesus died. In Christ, you cannot hate someone for whom Jesus died. Each person is someone to be loved and cared for as Jesus loves and cares. These are difficult times. We're struggling to find the best way forward. We struggle because we're all natural-born sinners who rebel against authority. We struggle because there are many who abuse their authority and do great evil. We struggle because we can abuse our authority. These are difficult times, but the call from Jesus is clear to all who exercise authority. Love and serve your neighbor. Jesus commands us to make disciples of all nations. All nations, all people groups. And how do we make disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. Jesus wants all to be united in one baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Learn from others. Love and serve your neighbor. Fight racism and hatred and division and abuse. Obey Jesus. Obedience may be radically countercultural, but it is not optional. Jesus has all authority. Listen to him. Love God. Love your neighbor. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess the Athanasian Creed responsibly.
Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish forever.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the God of heaven, the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory in equal, the majesty of the co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but unseen.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal. So that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
He suffered for our salvation, descended to hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
And at his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
Amen. This is the kind of faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Your precious party members, Sheila Barber, died of brain cancer. Scott Barrett, Kim Williams' brother, had bone cancer. Brian Bowden, Dolores' son, undergo shoulder surgery. Gretchen Novis, a friend of the Roche family, has been hospitalized. The pastor of Roche recovering in Bradford. Carol Beckett, John's wife, who's recovering at home from a fall. For Ariane and Alex, friends of Natalie Readers, who are going through great troubles due to the influence of false teachers. For Carrie Keller, who received a medical report. For Lucas Wise, the unborn great grandson of Pastor Camps, who's having complications. For Matthew Pendleton, a friend of Bruce Selmayr, recovering from brain surgery. For the family of Mary Coyne, a friend of the Roche family who passed away on Sunday. For Valita Snell and her family at the death of her brother-in-law, Alan. For an end to racism, for all affected by the unrest in our nation, for those protesting peacefully and for the police that protect all. For all those affected by the COVID-19 virus, the sick, the sheltered, the treated, the protecting, those providing services, those who are unemployed and underemployed. O blessed and holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear the prayers of your people and grant to us all things according to your word and promise. In the beginning, Father, your word spoke all things into being, and for nothing you made all that is. Help us to see the imprint of your love and the goodness of creation, and to exercise responsible care of all that you have entrusted us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In this day and in this time, Father, raise up in your church godly men to serve in her as pastors and faithful teachers and church workers to make known your saving gospel. Raise up faithful servants who will heed your call and serve to the best of their ability wherever you place them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In government and law, Father, you work to establish and preserve order, protecting the weak and fostering godly virtue. Bless our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Deliver the world from threats of pandemic and tyranny, and preserve the nations at peace. Bless all who defend us in the armed forces, aid us in emergency and medical fields, and inform us with news. Hinder those who oppress any people with mystery, violence, or fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
In the hour of trial and moment of trouble, you are there, Father. Hear us as we cry to you for the sake of the sick, the troubled in mind, the wounded in heart, and those who grieve, especially Sheila, Scott, Brian, Gretchen, Lyle, Carol, Ariane, and Alex, Carrie, Lucas, Matthew, Mary's family, Alan's family, for our nation, and for all those suffering from the virus. Deliver them from the affliction as you will, and sustain them in hope with a patient heart and strength for the day. Lord, in your mercy. Father, the blessed supper of our Lord, your Son, has offered us his body as the bread of heaven and his blood as the cup of salvation. Help us to receive this blessed sacrament with faith and to show forth the fruits of the Spirit in lives of faith, repentance, and goodness. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know we need, we pray you grant us, Father, for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith and life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. June the 28th, it'll be at 1:15 in the gym. So Sunday the 28th, so after all the services and the drive-up communion or the feminine communion, we'll have a voters meeting in the gym. It is our annual budget. So this is, in a sense, the big potatoes meeting. I mean, it's not normally controversial, but that's how we authorize, you know, keeping everything going and keeping me paid and all that kind of good stuff. So, portals of prayer for the next quarter, beginning July 1st, are out on the in the narthex. I believe they're pink this time. Also, the newsletter is available out there if you didn't get one last week. So, again, we do have some different ongoing renovation. You can actually peek down the stairway there. There's not tile at the bottom of the stairs. That'll go all the way into the bathrooms downstairs. They'll be repainted and remodeled, so it should be, just more or less dungeon-like, more current-looking. The cry room, you can take a look at that. We've widened the door in the middle. We've taken out the door by the toilet and moved the sink over. So now people with walkers or even a wheelchair should be able to maneuver in there much better than they did before. It's not probably full ADA, but the walls are very thick. And an amazing thing, it doesn't look amazing. There is now an exhaust fan in the cry room bathroom. It's amazing because the walls are 20-inch thick concrete and stone. So it's not like home where you just drill a hole in your ceiling or something. But it's there, it works, so that's really good. It's exciting stuff. So any other announcements that I've missed? So go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks.